everyone, this is the third episode of Talk Bookie Season 2, and we're your hosts, Talia Saley
and Rose Kim. This week, we'll be talking about K-pop and its popularity abroad, so Talia, do you want to start us off?
Sure. So K-pop is a multi-billion industry now, and it has definitely gained popularity throughout the years, both in Korea and abroad, as we have noticed, BTS gaining a lot of popularity. So there are many different K-pop bands, both old and new, and potentially you may have listened to some of these K-pop bands, and here are just some that I have listened to when I was younger. So I listened to a lot of SHINee. They have a lot of songs that were popular back in like 2000s. Big Bang was a really popular group. Super Junior was a very popular group, and I'm sure everybody knows Girls' Generation. That is usually like a standard K-pop group that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. If they're ever interested in K-pop or have listened to K-pop songs, this is like the go-to group when you're starting off.
And 21 too, especially, they're really big back in like the early 2000s and late 2000s. They were like the girl group that I grew up with, I guess, and I was a really big fan of them. They disbanded like a couple years ago, I think, but one of the members, CL, she's still active and she's still like really popular in the K-pop industry. A lot of people listen to her, mainly because she speaks like English, and I think a lot of her songs cater to like Western like audiences and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely one of them that I listen to a lot.
I think she even went to the Met Gala this year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, and she wore a very I don't know if I like it or don't like it. I'm not sure. I think that the outfit resembled a little bit of I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it was my favorite Met Gala look.
Mm-hmm.
But super, super glad that she was there, though. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I think who else went to the Met Gala? I think it was Rosé also went.
Mm-hmm. From Blackpink?
From what?
From Blackpink?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she went as well. So, it is pretty...
Yeah, a lot of K-pop idols, I think, went to mm-hmm. the Met Gala compared to last year, at least.
Yeah. Also, Rosé's look was pretty cool, but would have been... It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So, it would have been cool if it was more, like, I don't know. Because K-pop is very... Like, has a lot of vibrant colors. You know, the music videos are always very vibrant. So maybe it would have been cool if she wore something that resembled that. But it's still nice, so I won't complain. But anyways, and obviously we can't really miss out on BTS because they have been blowing up in like the past couple years, like 2 years maybe, they have been growing. And they're on the radio, they're in the malls, they're in the grocery stores. They're playing literally everywhere. Like, the last time I heard a BTS song was probably 5 days ago in like, my local supermarket. So, so it's literally everywhere. Even in movies, like, you'll hear, you know, trailers. And, like, you'll hear, like, BTS Dynamite playing or something like that. So, it's pretty... It's pretty amazing, actually, how much they grew and how, you know, at first it might seem a little weird to audiences, like, oh, why is there, like, a K-pop song playing? But now it's become so normal to the point where we don't even think about it, right? It's like, oh, like, it's just BTS, like, they're playing all the time, which is unusual.
No, yeah, that's so true. Like, I work at an ice cream shop, like, you know, and the song Ice Cream by Blackpink plays there all the time, and not gonna lie, it's getting kind of annoying, but
I don't like that song as
yeah no it was it's way too overplayed now, especially at my store, but I get what you mean. Yeah, it's a lot more normalized, I think.
Yeah, obviously the same songs like repeating can be annoying, but
yeah, you know, but that's like with any song, right?
Yeah, I mean, Gangnam Style was like playing all the time. Mm-hmm. Not that I was here when it was happening, but I know that's like the only Korean song anybody knew when I came back to Canada. And then I'm like, oh, it's like, what K-pop do you know? It's like Gangnam Style. Like, everybody knows Gangnam Style. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But you know what's so funny about Gangnam Style, though? Like, Psy, he doesn't exactly resemble, like, the K-pop idol that everyone thinks, like, it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Like,
when you think of K-pop idols, you think of, like, girl groups and, like dyed hair, and I don't know, like I don't want to be mean and say that like Psy is like, I don't know, he's like a little bit on the older side, right? He's not necessarily like a teen, like someone that would appeal to like teenagers as most K-pop groups do, right?
Yeah.
And he was still really, really popular, and that's so great of him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I think it's because K-pop has like an image of being in groups mainly, mm-hmm. like boy bands or girl groups, and so I think it's harder for individual artists to be more successful. But not that there aren't any, it's just that, you know, it spreads like faster, you know, like you'll discover yeah. new groups faster than individual artists. Just I think it's also because of the company or like organization they're under, you know. There's like mm-hmm. the three big Korean K-pop companies, and the names were, I'm trying to look because I remember there was YG,
JYP
and SM, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically I think if you're not under those three categories or like those three organizations, you're not going to be like as successful, or like the marketing isn't going to be as good. So
right.
So yeah, I think, and usually like the really like popular girl groups or boy groups are under those. And that's why BTS was kind of like a revolution in a way. It's just because they were under Big Hit, and yeah. Big Hit was a pretty small company, but now they're getting so many more K-pop groups into their, you know, organization because their title kind of grew. And
mm-hmm.
so I think that's pretty good in a way, but at the same time doesn't mean that like the industry itself is getting any better, because you know the system is not the best in terms of how they treat their trainees and the contracts they have to go through.
Yeah, we should actually get into that, just because we're talking about JYP and like SM and things like that. Do you want to talk about like the contracts that we were discussing?
Sure. So basically this trainee system, like how K-pop trainees sign themselves into these organizations, is through like a long-term contract, and some refer to it as slave contracts, which can be pretty extreme, but usually it's referred to as a long-term contract, or in Korean it's called the noye yeyak, I think, but obviously not a lot of people know what that is, but anyways, that's just how it is in Korean. And there's basically the contract, just you have these like people from the organizations actively seeking out younger potential trainees, right? Like age 12 to 13, if they have like a face or that's kind of distinctive or that kind of can work with their beauty standards, then they'll pick them out. And I know a story from BTS, Jin, for example, like he had really good looks back in the day, so they signed him into the organization. So it's, yeah, so they basically seek out really young students, and they have to sign this contract. And I think for every contract, it really depends on what the requirements are, but it has been reported that some trainees have had to go through plastic surgeries because it was part of the requirement, or they also had to go through strict diets because there was a required weight they had to reach in order to stay in the program. So there's just like a lot of struggles and things that shouldn't technically be required for artists. Like they should have the freedom to do what they want. Like plastic surgeries, that's like a big personal choice, I think, and it shouldn't really be controlled by somebody else. So it's just, yeah, it's interesting to see that this is kind of normalized in Korea, and if anybody knew about this here, they would be shocked, right? Because I know a lot of people like K-pop, but maybe they haven't researched a lot about what actually happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, and like it's obviously different as compared to like here, how they recruit I don't know, like artists and stuff. They definitely don't have like these contracts that like list all these different things that they're required to do, how they're supposed to look like, who they can and they're not like they can and can't date, etc., like what they can't eat. It's I don't know, it's kind of crazy. because it's not even like adults that they sign, that it could be like kids, like teenagers that are like what, like 14, 15, 16 years old. And the fact that they have to like go through all like these trainings while balancing school, like I don't know how they do it.
I know. It's and I don't think it applies to every single trainee because it depends on the organization. Right. And you know, some people maybe there's like Koreans who move to the US and they, or maybe they're like individual artists who kind of create their own music, like they're not under any label. So in that sense they have like more freedom. And also something I didn't touch on is how some K-pop groups can't be in relationships. And I think that it also makes the fan base sometimes can be really toxic in the sense that they feel like if their favorite idol is taken, it's like the end of the world, right? There's no way I'm going to get with them. But at the end of the day, fans should be able to be supportive of their idols, right? Right. They're like any human being. Like, imagine if, let's just put yourself in their place. What if you were an idol and you didn't have the, like, ability to date anybody at, like, a prime age of, like, 20 to 30, right? That's when you're usually going to start dating and finding someone you might possibly get married to. So, like, if you put yourself in that position, wouldn't you want your fans not to just be obsessed with your looks or the fact that you're in a relationship with someone? Wouldn't you want them to kind of be supportive of your work and your music and, you know, no matter what, like, be supportive, right? So,
And, like, I understand, like, from the business side that it's, like a profiting thing. Like, if, I don't know, like, if an idol were to date somebody, then that kind of puts them off the market, and teenagers can't really, like their fans can imagine themselves with them or whatever because they're taken. And I get that from like a business point of view, and that you're trying to make money, but at the same time, like I'm sure even if these companies enforce like these dating rules, like someone must have broken them. Like there's got to be one idol that broken it, you know? Like I'm sure it doesn't always work. Like, if they can't date openly, they'll probably be dating in secret and stuff and like sneaking around or whatever.
I don't know if you heard of these idols. Like, do you know Hyuna?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think she's under a label now, but she's like an individual artist and she used to be in a group, but she's in a relationship with another celebrity, like, and publicly, right? And I think that's why the label kicked her out, because she was in a relationship.
I see.
So it ruined her image and the company's image. But I haven't gone into too much detail, but I know that like they're both kind of doing stuff together or doing like their individual, like making their individual songs and performing. So, I mean, they're still successful, I think. It's just that it just doesn't guarantee that your label will support you. So yeah, I just think it's pretty cool to see that she was a little bit rebellious and went against it. I feel like you should have the option. I think you should be able to make your own choices, and you know, this like seems very extreme. And as much as I don't want to support it, like, you know, I listen to BTS all the time. But I'm pretty sure, like, for BTS, they're such a big group, they're making so much money, I don't think they're gonna have like a as intense of a contract compared to like smaller groups, because usually to build an image they have to like go on a stricter diet, you have to, you know, do all these things to make sure that you become famous. So
yeah, I don't know, it's like a no, there's no win-win, or like it's like a lose-lose situation for both sides, you know? Because even if, like, they were to get a girlfriend, I'm sure they'll definitely get, like, death threats and, like,
yeah,
I don't know, like hate from their fans and stuff, like, the girlfriend, so.
I know, like, you could possibly be upset, you know, if you really like your idol, but that doesn't mean that you should ever consider sending, like, death threats or hate mail or something.
Yeah.
That is just cruel. Like, you're that just gives them a bigger chance of disbanding or things like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you really want the worst for whoever you've been supporting for 5 years, then, like, that is not the way to go, so.
Yeah. On another topic, I do want to talk about Koreaboos. I'm sure you know what it is.
Yes, I do.
But one, like, main, I don't know, a very scandalous person that's been circulating around the internet is Ollie London. Mm-hmm. He is basically a very white dude.
Yes.
Who believes he is Korean and that he is, like, Korean by heart, even if he doesn't look like it or is from the country or have any blood relations to, like, Korean people at all. And so I think his obsession is with Jimin, right, from BTS?
Yeah,
so he got, like, a bunch of plastic surgeries to look like him, to have his eyes altered. I think he had, like, an eyebrow lift, etc. He dyed his hair in multiple different colors depending on what Jimin dyed it as. Now he's releasing music videos, one in specific, Butter by BTS. I gotta say, though, not a big fan of the cinematography that's going on in that video at the moment. I find it a little bit odd that people want to look like like another person, but not even just, like, their personality, like, their aesthetic, like, none of that, just, like, their race. It's a little bit odd. Do you have any thoughts on Ollie London, Tal?
Oh, yeah, I think everybody does, but...
Yeah.
It's just that...
It's weird.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, converting your whole entire race just to be, like, your favorite Korean idol is a little extreme, and I know... Just through, like, random YouTube videos or, like, commentaries about how Koreans are very offended by it, which I completely understand, because, you know, he claims that because he's doing all this plastic surgery and he's, like, doing eye lifts, right, which can be considered, like, pretty racist, because, like, you know, if you're Asian, like, there's a stereotype of your eyelids have to be, like, higher and stuff, so... Just, like, in general, he thinks that because he looks like an Asian, that he is an Asian. So,
it's... But that's the thing. Like, he doesn't even look...
No, he doesn't. Asian, he just believes that, like, he looks like one. Yeah, it makes no sense.
I feel... And, like, him, like, this public figure that he got going on, like, it makes so many people uncomfortable. And people have called him out for it so many times. Like, on TikTok, Instagram, like, whatever social media platform that he has... Somebody has definitely called him out for it. And, like, he just doesn't care at all. Like, he just goes about his day. He's, like, super big on the idea that he is Korean. Like, he's a K-pop star. And I don't know, like, as people that speak, like, Korean and, like, are Korean, like, listening him to talk about it is so cringy. Like, I can't... I don't know. It makes me so uncomfortable.
It does. And it's like, why are you so obsessed... Or, like, concerned with, like, what race you go into. Like, at the end of the day, like, it really matters your personality, like, your job, your career, you know, your family, right? Does it really matter that you're not Korean, right? Like, does your life have to revolve around, like, the fact that you have to look like Jimin, right? Like...
Yeah.
It's also offensive to him, like, Jimin. Like, imagine, like, him reacting to everything that's happening. I think I would be, like, terrified, so...
Yeah, if, like, someone got plastic surgery to look like me.
Yeah.
And then, like, try to convert... Can you even convert races? Like, what is he trying to do?
No, it's...
Whatever he's trying to do, it's weird. And honestly, I think people should just, like, stop paying attention to it, which is, like, hypocritical to, like, what we're saying right now, because we're literally talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. But... Yeah, we just have to share because it is a pretty big issue, and
yeah,
it's just just don't give him too much, like, attention.
He's making profit off of being, like, a Koreaboo and, like, looking like Jimin and stuff, and he's making money off of this. Like, this is his career, but it shouldn't be.
I mean, to be honest, I don't even know if he's making that much money, if he's doing like so many plastic surgeries to, you know, make him appear Korean. To pay for like plastic surgery is a lot of money, so I don't even know if YouTube could cover it. He only has like, if you check his videos, it's not enough for many. There's a lot of view. There's like, you know, a decent amount of views, but it's I think yes, actually, no, thinking about it, I think he does have a lot of views. It's just that he only has like 1,000 subscribers or something.
Oh, really?
So he doesn't
think
have a lot.
His main platform is like TikTok and Instagram, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe let me just check to see, because I'm just curious.
Yeah. He has 483k followers on Instagram, which is a lot. He's making money off of, like, brand deals and stuff.
Why would brands sponsor him?
I don't know. That's the thing.
What? Is he, like, actually popular?
Is living a luxurious life.
I don't understand. I don't know.
Oh, he, one of the things that he is sponsored by and, like, makes content for is... It's a plastic surgery clinic.
Oh.
He's an ambassador for one.
Still, though, would you want him supporting?
You know.
And he even labels himself as a K-pop singer. Yeah, pretty intense. He was even featured, I think, in a BuzzFeed. Sorry, not BuzzFeed. Six Buzz. Yeah, he was featured on that too. So like, it's not just an issue in Korea, but it's also issue here. Like, a lot of people know about it. So
for sure. So moving on to a different topic, away from Ollie London, we could also talk about how K-pop or like even Korean culture became popular in the first place. So there's something called Hallyu Wave, which in a sense just basically means like the Korean Wave. It just talks about, like, the wave of Korean culture, entertainment, like, music, how it all, like, became popular in Western countries and abroad. So, Tal, do you want to talk about more about that?
Definitely, there has been a rise in K-dramas, and it has become popular even outside of Korea. So, we talked about in the last couple episodes about Squid Game. And so that's one example of how it kind of blew up. Kind of unexpected, but because like I saw it on Netflix, but I didn't second guess, like, oh, like, you know, it's just like a new show, but kind of just looked over and passed it. To be honest, I genuinely don't know how it kind of like blew up. Like, I don't know where it came from. Do you know by any chance like how it blew up out of nowhere?
Squid Games?
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was like social media that was reposting it, like TikTok and Instagram. All the edits were becoming like insanely popular and stuff. And the whole topic, like the content of the drama, it's new, right? And it's that one scene with the red light, green light thing. That I saw that everywhere on TikTok before I even started watching the K-drama. And I think that might have what prompted other people to watch the drama, just because the scene in itself is so new and, like, it's nothing like we've seen before.
Yeah, that's true. I think it definitely targets... Because there's not that much, like, romance in it, necessarily. It's very, I think it, like, sort of adapts to, like, the Western shows as well. You know, it's intense, just a lot of action going on, but I don't know exactly how it like got so famous, but it's I still think that it's just like generally pretty cool. Just it was so weird, just, you know, people around me started watching it, and like I didn't even start watching it, and I'm like a Korean, right? It's like I've seen everybody else around me watching the show and commenting about it, and that's, I think that's unusual, just one particular show blowing up.
A lot of the times K-pop actors star in K-dramas. Examples of this is like IU, who was in Hotel Del Luna. I think, was it Jimin that was also in like another
K-drama? V was in one of the K-dramas.
So there's like a bunch of examples of them being in K-dramas. But to talk about like one of the firsts of K-pop, like moving into Western countries, is Wonder Girls. So Wonder Girls was like a girl group that was really popular in the early 2000s. Their song Nobody was like the first one to hit Billboard Hot 100s, and it was released in like a multiple like different languages, and that was like one of the first thing. And now there's BTS songs, Blackpink, like all of those idols hitting those charts, and it's interesting to see like them becoming popular, and more so because they're attending shows like James Corden's. I think they were BTS was on both of the Jimmy shows, right?
Yeah.
So Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, and like more people are learning about them because they're in like American TV shows and like live shows and things like that. And yeah.
And last thing is that they have been collabing with a lot of, you know, outside artists, like American or Canadian artists. So for example, BTS recently collabed with Megan Thee Stallion for Butter, like it was a short one. They've also collabed with Sia. Like, they've collabed with a lot of people. And I know Blackpink collabed with like Dua Lipa, and so it's just like really cool to see kind of those two matching up together, creating some new kind of, you know, a lot of different languages. It's just really cool. Okay, thank you everybody for listening to the third episode of Talkbookie, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye
bye.